I have in the past been known to say that this volunteer gig is like being an aviation journalism wannabe, because I'm not, right? But for the week of the year, I get to be one. And now we're talking to the real thing.
You actually really are one this week, because you're managing the whole news part of it and mentoring our news people. So I see you writing news. I'm making you not even honorary. I say you are there,
well,
my
thanks
friend.
So much. But only 1 week out of the year.
Yeah,
here's,
that's okay.
Here's somebody who does it all the time.
All the time. This is Julie Boatman, who's the editor-in-chief of Flying Magazine. She's an ATP-rated pilot who has worked as the head of training materials development for both Boeing and Textron, and she's a longtime aviation journalist, and I will do full disclosure, a very good friend of mine. Julie heads up a dynamic team of journalists covering changes in sport and commercial aviation, from UAS to alternative fuels to electric propulsion. Her knowledge of aviation is granular, but honestly, she never loses sight of the big picture. Did you write that?
Hi, no, Julie. I did not.
You did not. I love it.
Because sometimes my aviation knowledge feels like Swiss cheese. So
yeah, well, that's a problem with granular.
There's,
you know,
so much to know. I mean, we just have such an amazing world that we live in, being aviation journalists, and it's been fascinating to report on it for the past almost 25 years.
So. Yeah, something like that. I do remember that part of it. So, Mike, you got to ask her the question. What did you see? It's Wednesday.
She's had to have seen
something.
Yeah. Have you been here since Monday then?
I've been here since Sunday.
Okay.
You know, Oshkosh starts actually a day earlier for a lot of us in the aviation journalism world, because we'll have previews and we start writing content actually the week before and do some preview interviews and talk to people before they get sucked into the vortex that this event can be. So,
yeah. So two questions. What have you seen that is the biggest, and what have you seen that is the most unexpected or surprising?
Right. Okay. So a couple of things. Quite large. Pretty exciting news out of Daiei with the redo of the Kodiak 900. That's a really interesting iteration, and building on that awesome airframe that they acquired with the assets of Quest a few years ago. And now they're making it really part of that family while keeping its backcountry heritage. And that speaks to me, because, you know, I love mountain flying and, you know, look forward to gain a chance to fly it. But from a big standpoint, you know, we had one of our reporters, Tom Patterson, went aboard Boeing's Eco Demonstrator, which is pretty fabulous, and I encourage you to check out his work. He's pretty amazing. And our other reporter on the ground, Meg Gogluski, is running around, and she's going to go check out the new Vans RV-15. Which they have unveiled, although they're not giving a lot more specification than what you can walk around and take a look at.
Is it a little frustrating at this point, because you can't put that table in the article that has all the speeds and feeds and things like that?
Yeah, it's really prototype.
Whatever, and we don't know, and we're not telling you, and it's pretty cheeky, but I think it fits in with their ethos and philosophy. But the most surprising thing actually was the news out of Redbird, where they have a contract with the Air Force, where they're going to be delivering a version of their AATD so that the Air Force can replace the T-1A.
Oh,
yeah,
nice.
Aircraft in providing initial jet transition training. And that, to me, you know, signals just how far we've come in simulation, that the Air Force is replacing an airplane. You know, albeit, you know, it's at the basic end of their scale, but
They're doing it with the simulator.
They're ready to do it. You know, yeah. They have the fidelity. They have, and they have the experience now with, you know, doing deep training and simulation. So,
aren't they doing a little kind of mixed reality stuff too?
Yes.
Yeah. That sounded really interesting.
Yeah, I can't wait to see that. I haven't had a chance to really dig in, but yeah.
That's I think that's going to be our next wave of simulation, where you can put something on, you've still got the physical controls and things, but what you're seeing is a world out there. Mm-hmm. So you can touch and do all your screen stuff. But my understanding was that is a project in development right
yes.
now. Similar to the RV-15, which they did fully admit it was prototype. That
yep.
things yep. can totally change on it. And,
absolutely.
But, you know, I think the theme this year is backcountry, because everywhere I look, I see these, I call them machoized airplanes, the Zeniths, the Kit Foxes, the mm-hmm. everybody wants to be a short takeoff
scrappy
and landing.
Over there,
scrappy,
you know, in front
exactly.
of the Garmin booth, right?
Yeah. So. Yeah. What is that about?
Well, I think I know what that's about, or at least my opinion is that it's a function of the fact that people with their leisure money and leisure dollars are more interested in experiences than things.
Interesting, yeah. Okay.
I mean, that is a sort of a macro trend that I think we've seen for years. And people who are younger than I am and who are setting priorities are doing it in that way. So this appeals to backcountry flight, appeals to that same thing.
Absolutely. And we've seen it, you know, with the penetration that STOL has had, the short takeoff and landing. There's a panel that's going to be in the Theater in the Woods tomorrow afternoon that is focusing in on STOL training and safety and how to get started. So I think your theme is spot on, because that's, you know, that has backcountry in its DNA.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and the Kodiak, you know. They're making it go fast
yeah.
and carry a lot. That's
As I
really
said,
impressive.
Pretty darn fast.
Pretty
mm-hmm.
darn fast.
It's not
fast.
Quite very fast.
Well, is it faster than a Textron Caravan now?
I think it is.
I think so.
Yeah.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with Julie Boatman, who's the editor of Flying Magazine.
So, Julie, one of the things I promised that I would ask you is, I know you've been on the job now for, what, about 2 years, 3 years? Wow, time flies when you're having fun. And the website and the digital aspects, you've had a new owner come in. You went to a different format. You went to quarterly and then back. It's monthly now, right?
We're going back to monthly starting in 2023.
Yeah.
With the January issue.
It's been a lot of new kind of...
Mm-hmm.
Is that just the way of the world right now? I mean...
I think it's I think it's really exciting. So a year ago at Oshkosh, you know, we couldn't talk about it then because it was, the deal was still closing very literally at the show. But we were purchased by a digital media entrepreneur, Craig Fuller, and who has started FreightWaves, which focuses on trucking and logistics, in the digital media space, and really, you know, going hard in on data and making some real advances in digital. So with that acquisition, of course, we focused very, very hard on transforming our website so that it would be able to support that kind of expansion. So we're through V1 and we're getting ready to go into V2. Now with the print publication, which is of course near and dear to my heart, we wanted to double down on quality. And with that, we started with a quarterly issue, and we've had such a great response to the incredible investment that Craig's made and that the team has made in order to make it something that people really, you know, want to have and keep around, put on a coffee table. And, you know, it even feels good to touch. So we're going back to monthly in January.
Oh, that's fabulous. I am happy. I also used to have a print magazine and digital. I mean, I brought that magazine into the digital age, but print is near and dear to my heart. That being said, with Quad Graphics down the road and everything, we know how expensive it is to print a magazine and to mail it out to people. Postage is probably one of the biggest expenses anymore of it. It's hard.
But we're still keeping a good value. Actually, there's a show special. You can get a year for $20. So.
Can we look forward to seeing it on the newsstand as well as by subscription, or is it different?
Stay tuned. We're subscription only now, but... Mm-hmm. You never know.
Okay.
The more things change, the more they stay the same.
You never know what we're
going to
do.
So you're here through Saturday?
I'm personally here through Friday morning, but that's a full...
Can people catch you anywhere on the field?
I'm running around, but we have our... booth in Hangar C, and I'm off the top of my head, I'm forgetting what the number is, but okay. You'll see our publications from Heartland Media as well as Flying Magazine there.
So. Oh, great. And then on the web, where can people find Flying Magazine these days?
Flyingmag.com.
And there's content there that you can read without being a subscriber, right?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
And see, there's a lot of video.
Yeah, lots of video, a lot of pictures.
Yeah.
Julie Boatman's the editor of Flying Magazine, the real-life 52-week-a-year representation of what I get to do 1 week a year.
There you go. Yeah, that's exactly right. Exactly right.
Thanks for coming by.
Thank you.
You're listening to EAA Radio.